Bibles to the book of John, the 11th chapter, John 11 in your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1130. We'll be reading the first six verses. We'll read the verses responsively. Once more, John chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. And let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. Now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard therefore that he was sick, he abode 2 days till in the same place where he was. And let's pray. Father, thank you for this good day. Thank you for each and every Sunday we are privileged to assemble here. Each day that we come is a special, unique day unto itself. Thank you for filling us with that which we need if we but present our empty hearts and our empty lives and aren't faithful to fill them. We pray that you bless now and give us that which we need from thee through our preacher who has met with thee throughout the week in order that he might bring to us that which we require. We pray that you bless him, bless, we pray, each and every listener. Help us to give our hearts and our minds to thee this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
I want to speak this morning on the subject, Life's Four Longest Days. Life's Four Longest Days. I'm sure those of you who paid attention to the reading of the scripture a while ago know what I'm talking about. The days between the time that God knows your need and the time God does something about it. Each of you, either you are in those days now, or you have been in those days, wondering when God was going to do anything about your predicament. If you are not in those 4 days now, and sometimes it's longer than 4 days, but if you're not in those 4 days now, and you have not been, you rest assured the day is going to come when you're going to be in that 4 day period. So I want you to listen. I promise I'll not be long this morning. I make that promise. That's one promise that I've never kept. Would you wake that fellow up right in front of you there? Hey, wake up. Sit up. Sit up. We're having church. It's not a slumber party. It's church. And over here too. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. Wake up. All right, Dick's asleep even when his eyes are open, but our Heavenly Father, I pray you'll help me this morning to be what our dear folks need. Not only our people, but those who share with us in this hour today as our guests. Speak to our hearts and do thou to us, for us, and yes, even through us today what thou hast purposed in this hour. In Jesus' name. Amen. May I ask you please to listen carefully as I lay the foundation. Jesus loved the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. You recall, he himself had no home in which to live. The foxes had their holes, the birds had their nests, but Jesus had no place to lay his head. When he became weary, he would flee to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Mary and Martha, two sisters, Lazarus, their brother, and there Jesus found a refuge, comfort, and even physical strength. It was his resting place. When weary from the toils of the day, Jesus would go to the home of Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. By the way, it was Martha the one who was the good cook. Oh, she could whip up the best turnip greens with ham hock you ever saw in your life. She could fry the best okra ever known in the history. She was a southerner, as all good cooks are. And, oh, my soul, could she make good black-eyed peas. And she would put bacon hunks in pinto beans and change the taste completely. She could even make broccoli taste good. And it was there where Jesus loved to sit at the table and eat the wonderful food that Martha had cooked. Now, her sister Mary was of a different disposition. Mary it was who one day worshipped Jesus and broke an alabaster box of ointment and anointed Jesus with it. She sat at his feet. Oh, no doubt she would ask him questions, and no doubt she would try to encourage him. And Lazarus, he was the provider for the family, no doubt. And the three of them were wonderful personal friends of our Lord while he was on the earth. A wonderful home, a godly home, and a refuge and a haven for the Savior. One day in that home, a tempest broke. Lazarus, the brother, was taken ill. He grew steadily worse. They sent a messenger to Jesus, who was not there at the time. And the Bible says he was 15 furlongs away, a furlong being 1/8 of a mile, so he was a couple of miles away. And he didn't have a car to travel. And so they sent a messenger. And they said, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Now bear in mind, this was Jesus' favorite resting place. It was his favorite home. Mary and Martha and Lazarus were among his closest friends. In fact, it was told of Lazarus that he was the one whom Jesus loved. He whom thou lovest is sick, so says the Bible. Now, the interesting thing about it, to their amazement, Jesus did not come to the rescue. Here's a home where he had found comfort and solace and strength. He did not come. That is all. He didn't even send a message. And the truth is, he did not make an appearance for 4 days. Now, can you imagine how long these days were? 4 days, Lazarus now had died, and for 4 days his body had been in the grave. And the truth is, his body had already begun to stink when Jesus finally showed up. They had to wonder, why didn't he come? Doesn't he love us? Was his friendship real? Why didn't he come? Was his power overestimated? Was this beyond his ability? Was his love less than they had thought? And every one of us who are adults, we have been there. Times when we said, where is God? Where is God? We have a need. You said you loved us, for God so loved the world, but God commended his love toward us, and yet here we are. We're in need. Where are you? And this is the thing that they felt. Where are you, God? I am the Mary that sat at your feet, Jesus. Why can't you come now to my help? I am the Martha who prepared the food for you and cared for your physical culinary needs. Where are you now? Lazarus was your friend. He's the one that you love. Where are you now? Ours was the home open to you. We stayed beside you when others left. Others became your enemies and others criticized you. Others falsely accused you, but we stayed with you. Now, Jesus, where are you now? Don't you love us anymore? Ladies and gentlemen, let me say something. God is going to show up. I said, God is going to show up. Now, you wait for him, and don't you become impatient, and don't you backslide, and don't you doubt him, and don't you leave the book, and don't you leave the prayer closet, and don't you quit serving God. God is going to show up. But God knows when the best time is for him to show up. You see, Jesus could have come immediately and could have healed Lazarus, but he had something better. Jesus said they could just raise him from the dead instead. Now, so they said, come, Jesus, he's sick. Jesus didn't come because he had something better. Don't you think it was a lot better for Jesus to raise him from the dead? And the Bible said many believed on him. People got saved because of that. Now, if Mary had had her way, and Martha had her way, Jesus would have come immediately. But we don't know the best way, but God knows the best way. Let me give you a few illustrations. Old illustration, I've used it often, as I do all of my illustrations.
place your vest.
One of my jewels in First Baptist Church. In fact, the entire Vest family. Tracy Vest, a lovely young lady, but the choice young man at the college wanted to date her. You remember him well. He wanted, well, it wasn't you, but it was somebody else. If you had waited to see what, but anyway, but Tracy Vest, there's a guy at the college, every girl out there wanted to date. It's the same way it was with me when I was in college. Just want to see if you're listening. But Tracy, she came to me, as she always did, and she sought my advice about her boys that she dated. And Tracy said to the house, guess who wants to date me? And she told me, and I said, Tracy, he's a B, but you're an A+. And I said, I do not think he's the one for you. Oh, it crushed Tracy. But she said, preacher, I'll trust you, and I'll do what you say. So she broke up with this fella, who was every single girl out at the college wanted to date the guy just about. And so she broke up with him. And then shortly thereafter, another charming fella, charisma, personality, came. And Tracy asked Tracy, and Tracy came and said, Brother Hiles, what do you think about him? And I said, no, Tracy, he's not the one for you. And so, finally, she broke up with him also. And Tracy said, I don't understand it, Brother Hiles. I said, Tracy, you trust me. One day, she knocked on the door to my office. I went to the door, a big smile across her face, and she said, guess who asked me for a date? And I said, who? And she said, David Niemeyer asked me for a date. I said, not him either. He's too much like his father. But I said, Tracy, he stops. He's A+. You're A+. He's A+. And I approve that. And now then, she is married, and they have a couple of children, I think, three children, and probably another on the way. But now, see, God came along and said, Tracy, I want you to wait 4 days. But, dear God, I want you to wait 4 days. Now, let's hear something, folks. You let God work in his own due time. I remember we're going to start houses in college. You know where I wanted to start it? In that Catholic church across the street. That's where I wanted to start it. I thought that building, not the main building, but the one this side, next to our parking lot, be a good place to have a college. And I prayed for God to give us that Catholic property. But God didn't know which Catholic property it was. And I couldn't understand. I checked with him. I just knew that's where we're supposed to start our college. And those 4 days were long days. What we did, we started the college at Baptist City in what is now the elementary school. And that's not a good place to have a college. It's just not big enough, and so forth. And so one day, the Capuchin Seminary opened up. And those 4 days were the longest days. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. God, when the 4 days are over, is going to give you far more than you would have had if you had gone ahead on your own. So Mary, Martha, and Lazarus said, whom thou lovest is sick. Jesus said, no, he didn't even send a get well card. He didn't even send a message. He waited 4 days. Lazarus was dead. He came back and raised Lazarus from the dead. And I bet you Mary and Martha said, hot dog, boy, this is a lot better than getting well when you're sick. You're raised him from the dead. And not only that, Lazarus got to spend 4 days in heaven. There's a little vacation time for him. And then came back. Now, you listen to me, folks. You listen. You're in that 4 day period right now. You're waiting for vindication. You're waiting for what you want. You're waiting for what is best for you. You mark it down. Our God in heaven knows what's best for you. And our God in heaven knows when the best time is for you. I was pastor here for a few years. We were averaging 715 the year before I got here. And the first year I was here, we grew from 715 to 715. And the second year I was here, we grew from 715 to 715. And the third year, our growth was likened to the first two. And it just seemed like we couldn't get off the ground.
Would you believe it? One of the 10 largest churches in America called me and wanted me to come to candidate. The High Street Baptist Church in Springfield, Missouri, at that time running 3,000 people. Our church is running about 715-20. And so I said to Ms. House, that's the church God wants us to have. It's the mother church of the Baptist Bible Fellowship. And think of all the preacher boys we'll have there at Baptist Bible College just down the street from High Street Baptist Church. So we went down to take over the church and candidated. We were going to leave. I walked upon that pulpit, and God said to me, this is not for you. I said, now, wait a minute, dear God. 700 folks back there, 3,000 here, and we got a school here with 700 students and probably 150 preacher boys. Think what we could do with those preacher boys and this school. But God said, it's not for you. And began those 4 long days. Why can't I told the pulpit committee, forget me, scratch my name off of this. And now look what we have. Now for 27 years, we've had the largest church in America. And we have a college that's 4 times as big as the Baptist Bible College in Springfield. And I've got 4 times in preacher boys. I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, God knows what's best. And God's plan is the best plan. So don't get in a hurry now. Right, Carol? Just wait. Just wait. Remember all those guys that wanted to marry you? No, you don't remember one of them. But just wait. And she waited. Look what she got. This is not a good illustration. This doesn't illustrate my sermon at all. Our City Baptist needed a high school building. You know what we almost bought? The J.C. Penney company down here. We went down and looked at J.C. We couldn't find a place for a City Baptist school. We just couldn't find one, our bus kids' school. High school. I went down and toured that J.C. Penney place. No playground, no nothing down there, but it was a building. Now, I told the fella, I said, I can't make you an offer, but I'll recommend to our board that we pay you $400,000 for the J.C. Penney place. Well, that place is not worth $400. And I offered him $400,000, pending approval by the board and the church. And he said, no, I want $800,000. And I said, $800,000 for that place? And he turned me down. I couldn't understand it. Began those 4 days. But over here in East Chicago, there was a Catholic church for sale in East Chicago. And we could have given free shots of heroin to all of our bus riders. If it got right in the middle of where they said some gangbusters are. And gangbusters? Gang breakers. Huh? Gang bangers and gangbusters. Right in the middle of where some gang heads are. And so the deacons went over there and looked at it and made an offer to the Catholics. But they said, we made a mistake once before in setting a seminary out at Crown Point. Baptists, we're not going to give those Baptists anything else. Start 4 days. I don't understand it. Got to have a school. And that was in bad shape, but it was a school. And we could clean that place up in 7 years and used it. 4 days. Yeah. What are we going to do? They won't sell us the one over there. Can't buy a J.C. Penney company. One day, that little lady right there after church, Mrs. Borgway said, in the house, my sister-in-law is the secretary at the Bethel synagogue, Jewish synagogue. She wasn't even a Jew. She was a Gentile, a Christian secretary at the Jewish synagogue. I got an idea there. I hired me a Jewish secretary. And so it went down. I couldn't believe that building. It was perfect. Ideal. Ladies and gentlemen, we bought that building for our City Baptist School, and it is ideal and perfect. I griped at God, why can't I have a J.C.? Every time I drive by that J.C. Penney kind of building, I spit. The same God that had that building for us, if we wait, and the same God that had that beautiful college campus, if we wait, and the same God that had a Hiles Anderson College in his plans, and the greatest church in America in his plan, if I wait, that God is alive today. And today, if you're in that 4-year period of heartache and heartbreak and wonder, and how can I take it anymore, and where is God? Why have you forsaken us? Why haven't you come? Why haven't you done anything? God has the time. He's going to come, and he has what he's going to do. And God knows what's best. when Jim Vineyard left. He was America's best bus man. I wanted to hire somebody that was well known. I contacted, when Brother Vineyard became the pastor, I contacted the most famous bus man in America, outside Jim Vineyard, and offered him the job. Well, everybody wants to work at First Baptist Church in Hammond. I mean, and I offered him the job. I said, I'm looking for a bus man. He said, you know, I would have taken it a month or two ago, but God's called me to pastor now. I thought, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. We got to have a bus man. We got the biggest bus ministry in the world, probably four times as big as the second largest bus ministry. I've got to have a bus man. Where am I going to get one? 4 days started. I understand it. I contacted Brother Vineyard. He said, I recommend Ray Young and Roy Moffitt. I said, Ray Young, who's he? He said, he's a guy out at a bus barn, been working for me. I said, when I met that fella, he was so shy, he looked like he apologized for a living. And I said, Ray Young? Yeah, Ray Young. I hired Ray Young to take care of the DC&D bus ministry. Hired Roy Moffitt to take care of the A bus ministry. And brother, I wouldn't trade those two fellows for that guy. You have to give me 10 first round draft choices. And OJ, I started with OJ Simpson on the side. Can't think of a football player to save my life. What's that guy play for quarterback? Elway. Yeah, you send first-round draft choices and John Elway to get these guys. I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, you're looking at a man who's impatient by nature. I want it done yesterday. I want it done now. I don't want to wait. But I serve a God who knows when's the best time and knows what's the best thing. And if I'll wait for those 4 days and maybe even fret for those 4 days, there is a Capuchin Seminary available. There is a Bethel Temple available. There is a Ray Young and a Roy Moffitt available. And there is a Howells Anderson College in the mind of Almighty God and the largest church in America in the mind of Almighty God. Now, if that God can give me those 4 days and can give something better than I even dreamed, then that same God is alive today. And that God, if you'll wait, I said, wait. God will give you one of these days, he'll show up and do something you never dreamed he'd do. That's Randy Erickson. 17 years. A wife that was practiced, well, she was an invalid. She talked like this. She'd had a brain tumor. They could not correct it by surgery. And she would talk like them, and me. She couldn't walk. she traveled across the house. She crawled like a four-legged animal and was just in horrible shape. For 17 years, Randy cooked her food. For 17 years, Randy had to bathe her. For 17 years, no children, a wife that could hardly not even able to be a wife at all for 17 years. Many of those years, I came down here on Christmas morning and met him about 6 o'clock. So we'd have a Christmas. I'd take him out to a restaurant. We'd have breakfast together every Christmas morning for him in all those years. Randy waited, and he waited. Those 4 long days of waiting, will it ever get better? And today, thank God, Randy's got a lovely wife, happily married, 2 lovely daughters. I'm trying to tell you, ask Randy Erickson. Don't you rush it. You wait upon God. God knows what's best for you. He has something better. A greater miracle. A greater blessing. A greater joy. A resurrection joy. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Compare the happiness that they had with the resurrected Lazarus, the happiness they would have had just to a healed Lazarus, if you please. So don't despair. Don't quit. Don't blame God. Don't wonder if there's a God. I want to tell you, I'm 72 years old. I got some news for you. There is a God in heaven. I'm 72 years old. I've been through these 4 days time and time again. I could stand here this morning and tell you, the 4 days I've been through here and the 4 days here. But wait on God. I keep on going. Keep on going to the airport on Monday morning. Keep on preaching Monday night, Tuesday morning, Tuesday night. Keep on coming back Wednesday night service here. Keep on pastoring the church. I keep on doing what God called me to do. Let me tell you, there's a God in heaven who will vindicate who's right and what's right. I've often said this, that which you pay for first and receive later brings happiness. That which you receive first and pay for later brings unhappiness. I thank God, Ms. House and I are happy as can be. I mean, we just, and by the way, we waited. I was telling my sad stories about moving. I'll break your hearts again. A little room, about less than 100 square feet. That's our first apartment. We had no car for 3 years. Shared a kitchen with 8 other couples. Shared 2 bathrooms with 8 other couples. Had a wood stove. An oil kitchen stove. Washed clothes in a bathtub with a rub board. Hung them on the line in the backyard. Slept for a year at one place and walked 6 blocks to another to eat every meal with my mother. Now we're enjoying our senior years. You know why? Because we didn't have to have everything that you young married couples have to have. Those 4 days. I remember when I was pastor at Morris Chapel Baptist Church. So far out in the country, God hadn't even discovered it yet. You heard me tell it. The one gal could play the piano. She could play one song. She weighed about 250 pounds. And she was about 5'2". You can picture her in your mind. Everything we sang the tune of the old rugged cross. Had a pot-bellied wood stove right there in the middle of his house, and I had to go drive up on Sunday morning and light that stove and chase the yellow jackets out of the building and build a fire in that wood stove. Had 19 members. Had only one family in the entire church that had an outdoor toilet. Nobody had an indoor toilet. Did you hear what I said? And I said, God, hey, hey, remember me? I'm Jack Hiles. I'm the pastor that black fellow said one day is going to pastor the largest church in the world. Remember me? Huh? This is not what I had in mind. Begin the 4 days. Begin the 4 days. I gave it all I had. Just like I preached into a crowd this big, gave it all I had. And now,
Jesus came. He knew where I was. He sent me to heaven, Indiana. And now then, the largest congregation in America sits in front of me. I've got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. You just wait and don't distrust God and don't doubt God. He'll be here. I said he'll be here. He may not be here when you think he ought to be here, but he'll be here. He may not do what you wish he'd do. He'll do something better than what you wish he'd do. I'm saying, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth. And Mary and Martha and Lazarus were united. And people said, boy, look at this. Old-fashioned Holy Ghost revival broke out. And people got saved. Why?
Because Mary and Martha endured life's most difficult 4 days. You're there this morning, aren't you? Where are you, Jesus? I'm the one that left the job. My wife and I sold our house and came to college. Where are you? Where are you, Jesus? I'm the one that's given my life to God. Now my wife is seriously ill. Where are you, Jesus? Jesus, where are you? Our little baby girl is sick. She has leukemia. Where are you, Jesus? I'll tell you where he is. He is where he always is, and he knows where you are. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, for these 50, 61 years of pastoring and 53 and a half years of being a Baptist preacher. I've got news for you. He'll be here. He'll be here. I may not get Jesse Penney's. That's what I want. I'll get the Bethel Temple of Bethel Synagogue. And that's what he had for me. I may not get the church across the street from the Howells Anderson College. That's what I wanted. But I'll get the Capuchin Seminary, 8400 Burr Street. That's what he had for me. Now listen carefully, I'm through. You just wait. I'll tell you this story. Didn't plan to. Years ago, a fishing fleet had gone out from a small harbor on the east coast of Newfoundland. True story. While they're out there, this fishing fleet, a storm arose, night came, and not a vessel could find its way to port. Afternoon storm. All night long, wives and mothers prayed for God to bring their fathers, sons, and their husbands back to them safely. The storm got worse and worse, and they felt that nobody could survive in the storm as this fishing fleet was out on the waters. And to add to all of that, the tragedy came. One of the wives, waiting for her husband out there somewhere, her house caught on fire and burned to the ground. Finally, later that night, the ship that carried the fishing fleet came to shore. And everybody was safe. And everybody was smiling and laughing and cheering. But one little wife, because she had to tell her husband that her house had burned to the ground that afternoon. She was crying. Her husband came and said, I'm safe. I'm okay. I'm free. She was crying. He said, what's wrong? She said, I got bad news for you. She said, our house burned to the ground during the night while you were out on the sea. He smiled and said, and I quote, thank God for the fire. It was the light of the fire that led us into the port safely. Are you in the storm, Mr. Knight, today? That most difficult 4 days of life? I promise you this, God is on his way, and Jesus is on his way. And when he comes, he'll be at the right time, and what he does will be the right thing. I started to call this sermon this morning, The Delays of Love. The Delays of Love. I changed it to our last four longest days. If you've been there, you can testify to my sermon this morning. If you are there, hang in there. You'll be here. Martha! Martha! Jesus is going to come.
He whom thou lovest is sick.
Mary, you'll be here.
But Lazarus is dead.
I understand it. And you don't understand it. And I don't understand exactly what's... But he'll be here. So family came. Friends came to sympathize with him, preparing for the funeral service. His body was already stinking in the grave. Here comes Jesus. They said, if thou hadst been here, our brother would not have died. Can you imagine how Jesus felt? He knew what he was going to do. He said, boy, oh boy, they're in for the shock of their life. He walked out.
Lazarus! Lazarus! Come forth!
Somebody said, it's a good thing you called Lazarus' name. He just said, come forth! Everybody did come forth all at one time. And Mary and Martha said, in so many words, I'm glad we waited. I'm glad we trusted. So you wait, and you trust. He'll be here. You may have to endure life's longest 4 days, but he'll be here at the right time to do the right thing. Would you bow your head?
Please open your Bibles to the book of Zephaniah.